Hello, this is Jeff Buckles with the Two Roads and Two Destinies Ministries with you today. We're in Genesis. Finished up chapter 16 the last time we were together. We're going to be in chapter 17 today, if you'll open your Bible if you have one. We're going to be looking at Abram and the promise of God that was given to him. But let's begin with a word of prayer, if you will. Father, we thank you for your word, for your son. Pray that you'd open the word to us today. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, backing up just a little bit for the last time we were together, we saw Hagar out by the well in the wilderness. Let me go up to Beer Lahairoi, verse 14 of chapter 16 was what she named the well, thou God that seeth me. She had been out here running from Sarai because she had afflicted her because she had this child and had begun to despise Sarah. Well, she found out what her position was in this home. It was as still as a submissive position, even to Sarai. But Sarah was the person given the authority in this home as the wife. And even God says it to Hagar. Now, Hagar has been corrected in her behavior towards Sarai by God. She has been given a promise by God to get her through the times. And assuredly, this would cause a change in the life of Hagar. Now, we're going to see that in Hagar, Ishmael's life, Ishmael is going to do the same thing to their son Isaac that Hagar does to Sarai. But the promise, again, is still there to Ishmael that he would be a father of a multitude. And this promise they'll have to hold on to no matter what. Now, it says that Abram, verse 16, was 86 years old when Hagar bare Ishmael to Abram. He was 86 years old when Ishmael was born. And now, 13 years old later, God comes to Abram and speaks to him, appears to him, comes to him under the name of the Almighty God, before whom Abram was walking. Let's begin at chapter 17 of verse 1. And when Abram was 90 years old and nine, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God, walk before me and be thou perfect. And I will make my covenant between me and thee, and will multiply thee exceedingly. And Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. Neither shall thy name any more be called Abram, but thy name shall be called Abraham. For a father of many nations have I made thee, and I will make thee exceedingly fruitful. And I will make nations of thee, and kings shall come out of thee. And I will establish my covenant between me and thee and my seed after thee in their generations, for an everlasting covenant, to be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee. And I will give unto thee and to thy seed after thee the land wherein thou art a stranger, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. Now, let me stop right here. Here is a vast and detailed promise of God. And it's not only a promise, because if you look back here at Hagar, God had said to Hagar that she was going to have a son, and he was going to be a father of multitudes also. And essentially the same thing is being said here, but God now says, I make a covenant between me and thee, something more than just giving his word. But God says, this is surely established and it shall come to pass. This is a covenant. This is an agreement between two. And it's God's covenant, not Abraham's. We call it the Abrahamic covenant, and that is true, but God covenanted with Abraham to give him this promise. Now, what was the promise? I'll multiply you exceedingly. You'll be a father of many nations. And here is a name, change of name for Abraham. for Abram. Abram is now Abraham, father of many nations. He goes from a father of multitudes to a father of many nations. And I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and will make nations of you. And kings shall come out of you. And how many kings came from Abraham, from his descendants, from the children of Israel? You have David and Solomon, and just on and on for the kings that came out of him and that ruled, as we look into the book of Kings and Chronicles and those other books about the kings of Israel. And God says, I'm going to establish the covenant between me and you and your seed after you in their generations for an everlasting covenant to be a God unto them and to you. And he says, this land of Canaan that you're a stranger in, and that's what Abraham was here. He was a stranger in the land of promise, that is, the land that God had promised to give to him and to his children. Abraham was essentially a stranger. We're going to find later on that he even had to buy the burial place for his wife, so that he didn't have a purchased possession in this land. He was just as a shepherd, as a wanderer, as a stranger and a pilgrim, wandering around in this land. But it was given for an everlasting possession to his children and to him. Abram never saw this fulfilled in his life, but he tells us in Hebrews 11 that by faith, Abram sojourned in the land of promise because he knew that it was promised to him from God. And he knew, even though he died there and never possessed it, and he never possessed one foot of it except the burial place of his wife, which he had to buy, he still believed in the promise of God. And here he is, the everlasting possession. This land is given to the children of Israel. I was watching a special on television the other night, and I noticed they were interviewing Palestinians and Hebrews and talking to them. Well, of course, the Palestinians say, this land is ours. And this Jewish lady was on there, and she said, well, everybody knows that this land is ours. God gave it to us. Here's the promise of God. It's true. It really is true. God did give that land for an everlasting possession to the children of Israel. It's in the Word of God. And that woman was pointing back to this scripture. Still today, God has gathered his people from every corner of the earth, the children of Israel, and he's brought them back into the land. And these people still say, this is our land. And why? Because God made the promise to Abraham. It was an everlasting possession. And they may never see it today, but as many as believe on the Lord Jesus Christ will see it in a future day. Now he says in verse 9 now, God said unto Abraham, you shall keep my covenant therefore, you and your seed after you in their generations. This is my covenant, which you shall keep between me and you and your seed after you. Every man child among you shall be circumcised. And you shall circumcise the flesh of your foreskin, and it shall be a token of the covenant between me and you. And he that is 8 days old shall be circumcised among you, every man child in your generation. He that is born in the house, or bought with money, or any stranger which is not of your seed, he that is born in your house, and he that is bought with thy money, must needs be circumcised, and my covenant shall be in your flesh for an everlasting covenant. And the uncircumcised man child, whose flesh of his foreskin is not circumcised, that soul shall be cut off from his people, for he hath broken my covenant. Now notice, now God says, here is the covenant. Here's what you've got to do, and it's going to be between me and you. It's going to be circumcised. This is it. Circumcision. And you shall circumcise the flesh of your foreskin, and it shall be a token of the covenant between me and you. The New Testament teaches us that the circumcision that God spoke of here was a circumcision of the heart. It was the putting away of the old man and the putting on of the new man. It represented death to the flesh, devil and life unto God through faith. Now, this is what Abram was supposed to do. And Abram had really already done it. He became Abraham. And now, a man with a new heart, a man with a new life, from the inside out, now God says, here's a token between you and me. It's a covenant token. It is circumcision of your flesh, of the foreskin. How were they going to know that they were God's children? In heart? By the fact that they were circumcised in the flesh. He gives us detail in that in Galatians, if you want to read through that. He gives us detail in that in Romans. And maybe we'll get into this later on as we go. But it was a token to the fact that they were God's promised children. And when were they supposed to be circumcised? 8 days after they were born. Now, I'm no medical expert, but according to those that are, the 8th day after birth is the best time for the immune system, for the child, for this to be done. And this is when God had said to do it. Now, he says that everybody that's in your house that's bought with money or a stranger that's in your house, if he's born there, he needs to be circumcised because this is the covenant. If he's a child of Israel, if he's a child of Abraham, he needs to be circumcised. If he don't, then the covenant is broken. In other words, if you don't circumcise in the flesh, then you have chosen not to do that. And really, it's just an outward sign that you don't want to obey God inside. And it proves that you don't want God, and God does not want you if you don't want him. Now, let me go into just a moment before our time's up. God has called us into faith in the Lord Jesus Christ today. Put away the old man, repent, and trust in him. Circumcision of the heart. If you choose not to do this today, then you choose to reject God. God will reject you. But if you will turn to him and repent, put away the old man, trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior today, then you shall be saved. It is the promise of God. Salvation is in Jesus Christ. Well, our time's up. This has been Jeff Buckles with the Two Roads of Two Destinies Ministries with you today. And goodbye.
Thank you, Jeff. If you have any comments or questions or any concerns about your own soul, please call us. We'd like to encourage you in the Word. The phone number this week is 879-5695. Please do call us. This is Two Roads and Two Destinies.